end of the world. Don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world. Don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world. Don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world. Don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world.
We're recording this from confinement in an apartment in Marseille. We're going to read some of our translations of Sean Bonney's poetry into French. A group of five of us, friends and comrades, have been working on these translations since around December 2019, in view of publishing a booklet, which will be delayed by the pandemic. So last week we opened the blog in order to post some of the translations until printing becomes possible again. The address of the blog is 1720. Which is the date of the last major European outbreak of the bubonic plague in Europe, which ravaged Marseille when the silk and the cotton carrying the plague was hastily unloaded from the Saint Antoine boat, while the ship's crew, who had been identified during the voyage with the plague, were quarantined on a small island outside of the city's port. So to come back a little over the beginning of the project, we didn't really have any particular strategy going into a translation of Bonney's work. Translating collectively means negotiating between different people's developed or more intuitive practices and trying to find some kind of fruitful discord between all of that, especially when the collective notion of translation is being developed through the work itself, because none of us have really worked at length together before, at least not as a whole group. We started kind of immediately because everybody, even those who are not particularly familiar with English, got a pretty immediate impression of what Bonney was up to after being exposed for the first time to his letters or poems in English, and an even clearer impression as soon as they heard him read. The work was already genuinely exciting. In a way, it's as if Bonney, more than most writers, doesn't really need to be translated to begin to inflict the feeling he inflicts on those who, officially speaking, understand his language. But this then poses a particular kind of problem, because in order to translate him well, you need to really get to grips with the technique which produces what often feels like a kind of brute and chaotic force or energy, in order to then be able to carry that over into the French. Since the feeling of his work is obviously ultimately indissociable from the way he uses English, this kind of terrifying mixture between the everyday and the arcane. And so if you're not quite careful, you can lose a lot of that in the French. And in our experience, this problematic, this kind of general problematic, crystallized more or less around two particular problems. The first one was a probably quite established question of literalism versus interpretation. So whether you cleave more to the original language, or if you think more about what a reader in the host language might expect. And secondly, a related problem of register. Because we kept getting the impression that French, at least in its written form, is grammatically very demanding. You have a whole series of rules you have to follow, and if you follow them, it sounds formal compared to more everyday uses of English, but as soon as you deviate from that, it sounds poetic in a kind of arty or decorative way. And this is a really difficult thing to deal with when translating Bonney, especially because his use of a different, and at times even contradictory, registers and images is so persistent. So like pinpointing where Bonney's language is more conversational and where it steers towards more contorted zones of purposive noise is quite hard, precisely because in his work it seems that these two moments are constantly interlocking and interpenetrating one another. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a reading of one of Bonney's poems, quite long poems called Lamentations from 2014.
I'd like to introduce this reading of Lamentation by a sentence that Bonney pronounced a few years ago, and I would like to use it as a sort of epigraph. The sentence is, "I don't perform rage." So even though there is a lot of anger in this text, I will try not to perform rage. Lamentation. Nos maladies sont pour la plupart des maladies politiques. Peter Weiss. On salue l'obscur. Diane Di Prima. Au jour de notre colère la plus féroce. La précision de la beauté. du monde entier la joie. Pains trempés dans leur obscurité. Des ennemis la bouche plaquée sur nous. Un piège nous est venu. Nul qui nous réconforte. De la musique enfermée, des insultés et des vraiment damnés. Des noms des responsables des massacres récents. Sur la numérologie du chant d'oiseau. Sur l'émeute remplacée par le chant d'oiseau. Nos persécuteurs plus rapides que des aigles. Ils nous ont poursuivis dans les montagnes. Nous ont tendu une embuscade dans la plaine. Et nos voyelles collectives fredonnent comme des drones. L'invisible, quoi que ce soit, comme s'il ne planait pas au-dessus de nous, s'annonçait par le feu bleu. La loi est une bouche, glossolalie. Ces tours et ces villes, ces plaines désertiques, la saveur brûlante de ces cieux, que sont-ils, qu'a-t-on oublié dans ces bidonvilles, ces parcs et ces légendes, solides, brillants, cachés, étranges et distants fantômes, nos austères fantômes. Passe l'âme de ton corps comme de l'eau, eau bouillante qui brûle sans fin. Elle respire la loi et elle chante à l'intérieur de ce qu'elle protège et ils sont comme des fleurs aussi chastes et paisibles que du verre. Elle nous fixe du regard la musique de la loi et ses doigts, ils nous pincent comme si nous étions des cordes dorées et nous sommes leurs chansons, les habitants de la loi. Et nous n'avons pas prise et nous trébuchons, en arrière, heure par heure, telles des étoiles ou des immeubles s'effondrant dans l'abîme de leur cœur, les héritiers de la loi. Et là nous chantons, inimaginés, dans la glace de notre silence, tombant. Et leurs âmes s'écouleront comme pisse dans les rues de la grande ville. Dis qu'ils nous ont enfermés dans la pierre nue. Tu te réveilles, tu ouvres les yeux, et simple. Nous avons été consommés comme le sang et l'eau. Et notre langage, tu te réveilles, sifflant tes syntaxes, un jet de javel et de concepts. Échafaude, l'ennemi est non matériel, pas nous. Dis qu'ils nous ont étouffés avec du sucre noir. Demande qui sont ces gardiens des rébellions de jadis. Insiste, c'est vraiment arrivé. Nous sommes tous sauf imaginaires. Tu te réveilles, tu ouvres les yeux. Il y a une frontière nous sépare. Les morts méritants, non méritants. Défense d'afficher des miracles. C'est la sotte habitude de notre temps de se lamenter au lieu de réagir. La mode est aux jérémiades. Jérémie pose dans toutes les attitudes. Il pleure, flagelle, il dogmatise, il régente, il tonne, fléau lui-même entre tous les fléaux. Laissons ces bobèches de l'élégie, fossoyeurs de la liberté. Le devoir d'un révolutionnaire, c'est la lutte toujours, la lutte quand même, la lutte jusqu'à extinction. Blanqui. Souviens-toi. On t'a donné des lois pour gratter ton enfance, et tes déserts, tu le savais, chantant pendant des siècles dans une cellule et des dieux planqués sous ton lit. Conte de fées, leur amour bleu, depuis le fond de l'océan, cet inconnu, chaque nuit, dans ton lit, enlève sa peau brûlante, l'accroche dans sa cellule, ses esclaves égyptiens, ses cartes brisées. Souviens-toi de prendre ces contes comme un conseil, un vortex qui organise chaque phrase volée, chaque mot, une double serre, agis maintenant. Bon, bref, des insomniaques où les morts errants dorment en marchant à travers le ministère, ouais, à travers la ville dorée. Bah qu'ils aillent se faire foutre. La chorale, si elle existe, est un troupeau de fantômes. Le cœur, une foule désenchantée de professionnels du mot d'ordre. Laisse tomber, prends du sulfate, de l'hydrogène, n'importe quoi, éléments, élémentaux, broie le tout et boue l'invisible. L'extase des molécules d'oxygène. Les moines fous de Westminster. L'un fut auguré avec des hirondelles. L'un fut scindé avec des ciseaux. Certains germent dans la poussière à ne pas cueillir, adversaires du jour et contre-lumière de la nuit. Chaque porte n'est pas verrouillée. Erica Huggins. Dans le maire de Londres, ses râles de neige brûlante, dans son mot pour monnaie, un million de portes closes, de viande et d'étoiles qui flambent, sa livide sentence crevée, sa griffure sidérée de détenus, ses corpuscules et son rire, dans son mot pour Londres, dans notre disque de salaire, une alouette empoisonnée hurle, sa voix dorée s'écoule. Parce que nous n'existons pas, les années de notre naissance s'empilent dans l'ombre de nos bouches comme des villes imaginaires ou les fosses du ciel et autres banalités de base. Dis ces rats. Dis ces rats ont des noms, dis tu connais ces noms. Tu ne connais pas ces noms, dis poudre noire, dis plein de choses. Et puis, une victoire fasciste, dis ça. Et puis, dis il semblait qu'une porte a été ouverte, genre juste une seconde, et on s'est rué à travers cette porte, ou bien les choses se ruaient-elles sur nous, je ne sais pas, et... Dis c'était juste un nuage de sang en poudre. Dis tu connais leurs noms, et puis souffre de dessous ces noms, et vis, et creuse dans ces noms, et... Demande ce que deviennent ces putains de cœurs brisés. Évite la mélancolie. Raconte quelques blagues. Dynamite Stonehenge. Applique de la gravité sur ton corps, de l'eau crue comme du beurre en fait. Fais de ton corps, oui, c'est-à-dire toi, nous, une force du passé. Et à propos des fleurs, qui sont ces juges? Qui en a fait des gardiens et de quoi? Quelles sont ces choses au centre de leur bouche, ce silence cerclé, cette horloge écrasée, cri de choses volantes et mortes? La forme humaine, elle m'effraie. Ses aspects éraflés et monstrueux, peste agrippée à, comme l'esprit d'amour, et des spectres hurlent comme des étourneaux dans les rues de nos villes dévastées. C'est un orage de monstrueux tambours. La guerre n'a pas été déclarée, elle hurle seulement comme hurlent les fantômes, mais les cendres sont les hurlements des fantômes, sont de l'eau brûlée, sont les bardes des pièces et du sommeil licite, et des étoiles écarlates d'argent pourri. Je veux n'oublier jamais que l'on m'a contraint à devenir un monstre de justice et d'intolérance, un simplificateur claquemuré, un personnage arctique qui se désintéresse du sort de quiconque ne se ligue pas avec lui pour abattre les chiens de l'enfer. René Char. Et cette sentence non prononcée ne doit pas te rendre amère. Elle t'a rendu amère. Il y a une loi, elle patrouille l'invisible et sombre dehors. Il y a des comètes comme nous les déchiffrons, comme la loi ou la radio. Comme ensuite les villes brûlent, comme cendres, comme forme simple, comme le ciel est une insulte. Nomme cette ville. C'est un os, c'est nos os craquent comme feu, perle va. Scinder les filets de rue ou d'os, c'est pas une urgence. La richesse des morts, leurs amis morts. Qui regardaient le soleil dans les yeux et n'étaient pas aveuglés. Lola Ridge. 5 jours sans dormir. La loi est fixée et brûle, nous qui sommes ici captifs. Chaque nuit la même silhouette sur la même route, cesse de rugir comme un cerveau qui rugit tous nos fantômes. Jacinthe et gueule de loup, mes fantômes un fleuve d'os, mes fantômes Narcisse, ma rotation, mes lois, restez là. Les forfaits s'abattent comme la pluie. Et quand ils disent nous, ils ne cherchent qu'à baratiner pour que les gens croient y retrouver en mieux formulé ce qu'ils pensent et leur façon de penser. Ulrike Meinhof. Nous les menteurs, nous les obéissants, nous les dents impériales. Pas d'oiseaux, pas de costumes, pas d'araignées sacrificielles. Cette histoire passe à travers nous comme des fantômes. Divers acronymes. Nostalgie de la couleur électrique. Rose, meurtre et noir. Le fantôme de ton père a donné des mots à l'orage. Piégé la pluie dans ses chansons, ont déchiré sa bouche en morceaux. La pluie ne parlera pas de ça. C'est ta beauté, Apocalyptica. Mais pour toi, ce serait peut-être un devoir, car tu pourrais t'employer à réveiller les morts de Tübingen. Certes, les croque-morts chercheraient à te faire le plus de mal possible. Hölderlin à Hegel, 25 novembre 1795.
So we've been working on Lamentations, on this translation of Lamentations for a while now. First, two of us translated it, then reworked it ourselves, then we had a collective meeting, changed more, and then went back to the text and made some final changes. So the work goes through quite a lot of edits, and we often had to listen to Bonnie, well, to Bonnie's own recording, to figure out where the ambiguities were active in the text itself, and where they were just born out of indecision, about not really knowing whether he meant one thing or another, and therefore hesitantly opting out of making any decision at all. And these issues of interpretation were quite frequent, in particular with Lamentations, which is formally quite chaotic on the page. It's a long piece divided into 8 or 9 sections, all opened by quotations. And each section of the poem is in a way a kind of oblique elaboration of that quote, even though there is still a kind of a unifying thread which seems to tie it all together. And secondly, on the paper it moves between prose and verse, and then between free verse and slightly more metrical stuff. So those are some of the kind of formal issues, but also in Bonnie's own recording that's available on SoundCloud, all of it is read with the same kind of unflinching intensity, as if the images and the histories they carry are too intense to be pushed around by the shifts in their written form. There's some kind of overwhelming force which holds it all together on his reading, as if it were read in one long breath, a kind of continuous and indecipherable scream whose parts can only be separated on analysis.
Here's a set of brief reflections and questions I asked myself after having been working on this reading of Lamentations French translation. So first, in the English version, we could say that there are two originals, the written and the spoken one, since Bonnie himself seems to take a lot of liberties regarding the written text when he reads it out loud. He doesn't really respect neither punctuation nor line breaks, and decides whether the verses draws a continuity across the enjambments or not. So you cannot say exactly that the written version comes before the spoken one. They're in a way coterminous, or at least rivals. Two, though we used Bonnie's reading to translate the written text of Lamentation to get both a notion of rhythm and meaning in the poem, which are quite indissociable here and maybe beyond, the French translation had no spoken version on which I could base myself. I considered myself as a sort of vocal orphan. So the French text has a sort of authority over my reading of it, which is both necessary and undesirable, and I had to refer to it as if it were a piece of music. Three, a piece of music, which means both a referent and something from which I can deviate. Four, I guess it might be even more intimidating for English speakers to read Bonnie's text out loud. His voice haunts every reading, because his voice reaches non-human places or zones of non-being, as Fanon would say, that come out in the shape of a shattered noise. Perhaps reading Bonnie means trying to find out the zones of non-humanity in your own voice, and I feel quite far away from these voices, so there's a lot of work to be done.
So it's quite difficult in a way to get them, to get that reading, to get Bonnie's reading out of your head when translating, and yet the same time it feels like the translation makes it both impossible and also undesirable to reproduce. This is maybe in part because the poem, even in its own language, means something very different now to what it meant when it was published in 2014, not only because the political situation is really different, but also because every reader is going to do something different with it in the first place. And if it's as if when you translate this quite obvious point, it seems to impose itself even further, because the implicit references and the histories are so different as to make it impossible to faithfully recreate anything at all. Or at least this attempt to recreate faithfully would become a purely academic exercise, to the extent that it would be more concerned with its own artifice and with what may happen to the poem in the hands of whoever happens to read or to hear it. And also, once the poem is finished, once the translated version is finished, it becomes its own anyway. That is, it becomes its own among a system of meaning that it itself creates, and lots of new and different things then come out of it. And this is maybe one reason why it's worth translating at all, because in a way it's impossible to make what you translate not produce new meanings and new experiences. And this is not to get bogged down in searching for a kind of novelty, because at the same time it feels like part of what translation does, or at least what it can do to the host language, to create this kind of productive tension in the work, in which the translated version is constantly referring back to its original, to producing its effect through this kind of dialectic of production and reproduction, a kind of echoing process between the new version and its original, which produces for the reader an experience of being pushed around between the experience of their own expectations and the attempt to learn and understand through those things that Bonnie is presenting in the work. And so what we wanted to do now is to read a shorter poem of Bonnie's, side by side, so an English version and a French version. To finish, this is one of Bonnie's later poems called Grievance, which is printed in the materials collection Ghosts from 2017. It's quite a short text about zombies, communism, these kinds of things, as far as we can make out. Just to say before we end, if people want to follow, to restate before the end, if people want to follow the development of the project, the blog, which is now live, or it's been live for about a week, is called 1720, all in one word. We'll put some link somewhere so people can find it easily. So here's the version of Grievance, or Doléance in French.
Grievance. Today they cancel the carrion birds, and we're in love and sleep in peace. There are cups inside our pillows. Try and say the assassins work for us. Our houses are packed so close they are no longer houses. Get that. These our beds. These our scraps of food. We eat with the same mouth. We no longer use our bones. We are desperate. We are fabulous. We are possibly dead. 4 in the morning. Sleep. Fuck. Get high. And that monster in the sky taking our details. Ghosts walk at noon. Everyone's a weapon.
Doléance. Aujourd'hui, on a annulé les oiseaux charognards. Et nous sommes amoureux et nous dormons en paix. Il y a des flics dans nos oreillers. Essaye de dire que leur assassin bosse pour nous. Nos maisons sont bondées si étroitement qu'elles ne sont plus des maisons. Va comprendre. Ça, nos lits. Ça, nos restes de bouffe. Nous mangeons de la même bouche. Nous n'avons plus l'usage de nos os. Nous sommes désespérés. Nous sommes fabuleux. Nous sommes possiblement morts. 4 heures du mat. Dors, baise, défonce-toi. Et ce monstre dans le ciel qui relève nos coordonnées. Des fantômes marchent à midi. Tout en chacun une arme.
Now masters of war, you build all the big guns, you build the big plane, and you build a big bomb. You hide behind walls, and you hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You never done nothing but fear to destroy. Play with my world, like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand, and you hide from my eyes. Then you try to run for the how much do I know to talk out of turn? You may say that I'm young. You may say that I'm unlearned. But that one thing I know, you're fast having the trigger. Brothers to fight, then you sit back and watch while death cows get high. You sit in your mansion while young people's blood blow out of their bodies. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy your forgiveness? Oh, no, no. Do you think that it does? I think you're gonna find, oh, yes, sir. One day you're gonna die. Your death's gonna come soon.